views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, Shasta County. This is Kevin Cry. This is my show. Welcome. We are broadcasting live here in downtown Redding, the heart of District 1. You could always listen to us on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. And you can also go to VoteKevinCry.com, where all my shows are archived, as well as follow me on Facebook, Vote Kevin Cry on Facebook. I do quite a few videos. I'll go live every Monday morning at 7 a.m. to answer some questions and just engage you, the public, more and more. Also, would like to say hello to my Uncle Bud, who's listening in Yurupa, which is Riverside County, all the way at the other end of the state. I know the air quality down there is much different, but fires aren't new to the state of California, so I hope Uncle Bud, you and Aunt Delilah are doing well. Also, hello to Noah in Lansdale, Pennsylvania. And they're probably two of the most liberal, most far-left listeners I have, and they're spread out across the country. And those are two of many listeners who are now engaged about here in Shasta County, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for people talking about Shasta County, and more times than not, it's a very, very positive conversation about what we're doing. We are attracting a lot of people here, coming here, because we are free. And we are constitutionally driven, and we are getting a name for that. I'd like to give you the weather really quick. That's brought to you by Weather NorCal. Again, not a paid sponsor, just a friend of mine. The weather this week is going to be in the high 50s, low 60s. It's going to be sunny all week, so no rain, and I'm very, very excited about that. Not that we don't need the rain, but it's nice to have these mornings. Air is crisp. If you go out and run, it's a great time of year to be running because it's not too hot, not too cold. Okay, so yesterday I spoke at the Capitol, and that was an experience. I got to tell you, there was a rally down there. It was basically the rally on the flyer was a victory celebration for Donald Trump coming into office, but it was also about just really letting people know how to get involved, and it was part celebration, but part the job's not done. Now, I'll tell you, there was, I think, 12 speakers. I was third, and I'm going to probably post some videos, maybe even my seven-minute speech I gave on my Vote Kevin Cry Facebook page. But I will say that my topic was Be the Change, and I'll tell you, I started it with a story. Kobe Bryant in 2009 for the Los Angeles Lakers, they were up 2-0 over the Orlando Magic, and he came into the postgame press conference, and he sat down at the table and had that, you know, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan-esque stare, just complete business, complete, you know, quiet assassin that he was on the court, and just stared, and a reporter asked the first question, and they said, "Hey, Kobe, when are we going to see that smile?" And he said, "What's there to smile about? The job's not finished." And I would encourage you to go back and watch the press conference on YouTube. You could find that clip pretty easy. But just the conviction in his eyes. And he was right. The job wasn't finished. And too often, people get really excited on victories. And, you know, it's okay to get excited. You have to find joy. Some people, and I'm one of them, I hate to lose more than I like to win. You know, there's always a little fist pump, like, all right, we won. But if you lose and you know you didn't execute on things you could have, that eats at a person. It definitely eats at me. And my topic yesterday about being the change is like, hey, we, saying conservatives, flipped 10 counties in the state of California to red. But as you know, when they closed the polls, and you're watching the presidential election just this last November, when they closed the polls, they called California within like 30 seconds. So that means we have a long way to go still. And anyway, my talk was really about getting involved, and a lot of people there were already involved, but I said, hey, if you're at this rally and you didn't bring, you know, new people, or you haven't met 50 new people, you're doing it wrong, because it's just an echo chamber. It can't be an echo chamber. It has to be more and more people. And I said, I don't care if it's a red or a blue thing. I just want common sense. I just want common sense, people, because that's truly what matters to me. So, okay, the back half of our show today after the break, we're going to do call-ins. And I'm going to give you the three topics that I want to talk about or discuss. And I want to stay to these three topics when people are calling in. So here's the three topics. We're going to talk about public comment times, basically how other counties do it, but any input you have. Because I do these radio shows because I want to engage the public. I want to get more people involved. I want people to be able to have access to me. Since I've become in office, you'll see more elected officials now communicating more with the public. And I'm not saying that's because of me, but I'm just saying I want the standard to be constant contact with the constituents, with the people, letting people know what's going on, pulling the curtain back, so to speak, and getting an opportunity to see what goes on, because too often we don't. So public comment and public comment structure and times to the Board of Supervisors. The second is, does Redding / Shasta County feel safer or less safe since, let's just say, 2020? And I don't want to say just COVID. It's not about just COVID, but that's a break in people's minds. So you could say, you know, 20 to 25. Does Redding feel safer or less safe? And then the third thing is, I want to know, do you seek medical care inside or outside of Shasta County? Whether that's a general practitioner, whether that's a specialist, whether that's, you know, a knee operation, hip operation, et cetera, I want to know, do you seek your medical care inside or outside of the county? All right. So we have a great show for you today. As a reminder, you can always go to my website. And tomorrow I do have that I'm not going to call it a town hall because I have a private meeting. And what I've learned in this process when it comes to insurance and what you can do as an elected official and as a private individual and how you can basically do these things. If it's county sponsored, it has to be county sponsored. If it's me as a private individual, I just have to do it that way. So if you want to register for my meeting tomorrow night, it's go to votekevincry.com. You could register for it. You'll get an email confirmation. And it's going to be very limited, 50 to 75 people, and it's a small room. But we're going to be talking about everything criminal justice and the various entities that play into that, which is the courts, the DA, the public defender, the various jurisdictions in terms of RPD, APD, sheriff's office, and the sheriff's office, of course, running the jail. So that's what that meeting is going to be about. And I think one of the things that's important is the breakdown of what's going on in our community safety wise. I believe the reason so many people don't really know is because I think the trust in media is at such an all time low. You have, because I mean, I've spoken to our new public defender. I've spoken to the DA. I've spoken to the sheriff. I've spoken to the CEO of the courts. I've spoken to multiple judges, off the record. And then, of course, like many of you, we all know many sheriff deputies or officers in various roles in APD or RPD. So we all get all this info, but a lot of us, I'll just say a lot of people can't connect all the dots because they don't get to have those conversations with all the different players. And I think everybody's so nervous to talk to the media because the majority of the media is garbage. It's not actually reporting. It's not journalism. It's just propaganda. And that's why, you know, you see, you know, they're living and dying by grants. They're not living and dying by what they used to do in terms of ad dollars and businesses supporting, because really, you know, they know who they're paying money to and who the audience they're going to see. So anyway, I think that's part of the problem. So what I want to do is I want to just consistently in the next few weeks and months, because I've been talking about a lot of this since, you know, September about these meetings. And so anyway, I digress. That's on my website, votekevincry.com. Yesterday in at the Capitol, I met a Berkeley professor who's doing a story on, I believe, myself and then Shasta County. She was in chambers this past week. I didn't talk to her. I remember seeing her because when I saw her yesterday in Sacramento, she mentioned that she was there. And, of course, I saw her. She was sitting in the front row to the far – to my far right, her far left. And, of course, her and I had some great jokes about that, and, you know, because she's – and she'll tell you. She's been a professor at Berkeley since, I think, 2006 or 2007. So she said – and we had some great conversation yesterday. So we're going to do a pretty lengthy interview here coming up. But, you know, she's sitting on the far left of the room, and I see her as the far right. And so we just had some jokes about that. And it reminded me a little bit about Jessica Huseman from Boat Beat out of Dallas. She was one that came here and has been on the radio show, and you could go back and look in the archives. And it was a great conversation because I think that's what's important. We got to be able to have conversations with people that we might not ideologically agree with. You know, and that's one of the things, you know, even this last week at our board meeting, we, you know, we had an individual come up, and you know, as a board, we have the responsibility to appoint different people to different boards. And, you know, one of my questions that I've asked a lot of constituents actually this week is when you, when you're looking at the decisions we make, and a lot of people don't even know, like, that we put people on boards or not, but I've just asked people, hey, when you're looking at, for the people that are involved, I say, when you're looking at the appointments that we're about to make, I said, this is how I approach it. I look at their background and their policies. What's their education? What's their experience? What have they done? And then also I look at their ideologies, because so much now is driven by this side or that side of the room, which is really sad. But in actuality, when you look at some of the appointments, their ideologies actually matter a whole lot. I mean, are they for growing government? Are they for bigger government? Are they for more committees and less communication, or are they for more constitutional driven concepts and beliefs? You know, I mean, if you look at something like, you know, like let's just say, I don't even want to use an example. So I'll say, if there was a commission that was all about potholes, you know, it doesn't really matter if a person on that committee that is dealing with just roads and potholes, if they believe gender is fluid, if they believe there's 25 genders, because if I look at the responsibilities of that board and all they're going to be doing, or that commission, all they're going to be doing is, you know, what type of asphalt do we put in the ground and stuff like that, then I could say, you know what, their political ideologies aren't going to play into those, you know, those choices that they're going to make. But let's say there's one that has to do with kids, and because we had that this last week, and I really tried not to, make it a really hard conversation, but Supervisor Plummer brought somebody up, asked questions, and it looked like the board may get swayed. And I just, you know, so I just said how I felt, and it went 5-0. And I even said, I'm one vote. So anybody else could make the motion to appoint the individual. Nobody did, because I believe all five sided with me. And at the end of the day, that's one of the toughest things we do when we look at appointing people is, you know, their background. And then what are they going to stand on? Are they going to stand on the Constitution? Is that going to be the fallback? Because if you're going to work with kids and you think gender is fluid, or you think it's a government's responsibility to educate kids about sexuality and biology and stuff like that, especially 0 to 5-year-olds, pack your bags, because I'm not getting on that train. So anyway, this past Tuesday was our first meeting of the year. It's the first show I've had since we did that. You know, and there's a lot of stats that got thrown out that were really surprising to me, which I didn't know any of this until after the meeting. But the last time that there was three new supervisors seated at once in Shasta County, the last time, so three new supervisors that came in all at one time, was 1909. 1909, that's like 116 years ago. That is a really long time. And then and I don't have the exact years, but I guess this was the first time in roughly 70 years that a chairperson was seated in consecutive years. So I don't know if it's, you know, 65, 70, whatever. I didn't really check, and it really doesn't matter to me. Other thing that was interesting is I learned that I went down to RCRC on Wednesday, and there, you know, a lot of counties. There's 40, I think, in RCRC. There might have been 30 to 35 represented, and, you know, quite a few come up to me because I'm pretty outspoken at these meetings, so I've got to know a lot of the people. And they said, hey, congratulations, and, you know, we talked a little bit through it, and they said, yeah, in our county, you can't even be a chair if you're a first-year supervisor. And the closest one was Modoc that said that. So I thought that was interesting, and I can't tell you, I mean, I found it interesting, but I don't know if I agree with that or not, but it was interesting nonetheless, because I think it, I'm always going to go back to the voting process. And my board report was pretty light. If you watch the meeting, or if you go back and watch it, you know, usually my board reports are pretty lengthy, and And the new supervisors also talked about their what they want to accomplish in 2025 going forward and with priorities. And you know, I didn't prepare anything in terms of priorities and things of that nature, just because, you know, it was really, really, and I'm going to get to my priorities here in a second, but it was one of those things that I just didn't know how it was going to go. And that's what's, you know, really, really tough, because I've spoken with the three new supervisors about the meeting. And what makes me chuckle is that, you know, people think that it was already decided. And it's comical, but, you know, again, people are going to accuse or say whatever they want. You know, and Supervisor Harmon, his greatest frustration, you know, is not being able to sit down and hash it out as a group, just together privately. And I said, well, that's the Brown Act. And he gets that. And, you know, as a coach or as a business owner of, you know, various companies, I encourage my staff or my coaches to have these knockdown, drag out brawls behind closed doors. But, you know, then when you leave the locker room or you leave the conference room, you know, you go out in the world united. You say, okay, you know, and I've had that. I've had that where I've lost. My assistant coaches have said, hey, look, we have to drop back to a zone. And I'm like, man, we are a man-to-man, pick up full court, you know, that's our identity. But they're like, man, we're just getting killed. We got to drop back to a zone, pack the paint, and try and just, you know, control the boards and slow this game down. So, all right. So I go out and then I tell the team, hey, this is what we're doing. And we're all on board. And they wouldn't know that that's the last thing I wanted to do, because you have to be united. But the, you know, the Brown Act doesn't allow for that. And I don't think that's necessarily bad. It just makes it really messy. I mean, I think that the discussion on the vote on the chair would have been much different if the five of us, you know, would have sat down in a closed room first and you know, hashed out some of that stuff. I mean, Supervisor Long, Supervisor Plummer, like, you know, they had their opinions, and I really, really held back on some of my opinions about some of the things that were said, and I pushed back a little bit. But here's the beauty of it. We had a lot of 5-0 votes. We probably had more 5-0 votes, and I didn't take the time to go back and check, but I would be willing to bet we had more 5-0 votes on items that there was a lot of discussion on Tuesday than we had probably the last 2 years. And I think that's really healthy, and I think it's only going to get better. Because what you saw is, if there was anything that was going to be really contentious and really, you know, biting or aggressive, it probably would have been R1. And I wouldn't have necessarily thought that. I didn't know what to think going in. But, you know, nonetheless, we're moving on. And one of the things I will say, too, is I would encourage everybody to, when you come in and you look at this board is very, very eclectic in terms of our backgrounds, our experiences, and, you know, get to know the other three supervisors, get to know Supervisor Kellstrom and I, if you don't already, and look at our skill sets, what we've done personally in our careers, our families, all kinds of things, because I think it's a really, really special and dynamic board, and I'm really, really looking forward to this year. I think it's going to be great. Okay, so on my priorities, and I've got a few listed out here, and I've got about 8 minutes I'm going to share, and then we're going to go back. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to go into those three questions that I had mentioned. But the, you know, one of the things is, again, and I always talk about as a business owner, and I clarify that because that's the only experience I have. Like, coming into elected office, I just compare private sector versus government. And there's only two people that report to the board directly. It's the CEO and the county council. So when you're looking at, you know, casting vision or making changes or wanting to implement change, it's got to go through, you know, one of those two people. And obviously it's going to be the CEO when it comes to department heads and things like that. So if you say, hey, I really want to see this improved, that improved, like, we're not supposed to go directly to staff. Now, do we? Yeah, but we can't, like, demand they do something, because they don't work for an individual supervisor. They work for the CEO, who works at the direction of the board. So with three new supervisors, I know they're going to all be figuring that out, just like any supervisor has to do when they start. Excuse me. And, man, that's one thing about an 8 o'clock Sunday morning show. You haven't said a lot of words. Okay. So my priorities and, this year going forward, in terms of, one of them is health and wellness. I mean, access to quality medical care. What are some things that we can do as a county to, bring attention to some gaps, some areas that we can lean in? What's our jurisdiction? You'll see on the agenda for this week, Dr. Mu is going to come in and do a presentation on the bird flu and H1N1. That was something that I asked him, you know, during the Christmas break, because that was a thing, and you've seen the price of eggs, and people are having questions. And I made a comment in the very first meeting about, or maybe the last meeting of last year about the bird flu. And it was a little flippant, but at the same time, I mean, some people, you know, started to talk about lockdowns and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just saying, yeah, that's not happening in Shasta County. But so Dr. Mu is going to come in and talk about that. And then we had a gentleman named Ronald Owens who came in. He's traveling the state right now he's made it to 20 or 22 various counties and spoke in public comment. He was part of public health based in Sacramento, you know, very, very plugged in during COVID. And he quit because of what he saw in the numbers of vaccine-related illnesses and what was happening. So he came up in public comment, brought a lot of information. All the board has received quite a bit. So I've asked Dr. Mu to look at the information he's provided as a person that was an official with public health, and then to verify some of that, and then come back and make a presentation. Because I'd like to see Dr. Mu more involved, at the very least quarterly, with health updates about the county. I know Supervisor Plummer talked about suicide rates, and that would be mental health, but also Dr. Mu would obviously have a point in that. So health and wellness is going to be a big thing to me this year. And then also we had in our air pollution meeting in December, we had a gentleman named Dane Wigington who came up, and he presented, I believe, in 2015 to the board about geoengineering. And since he presented in I think, roughly 2015, I think it might have been 17, I'm not sure, but he, you know, made some pretty big claims about things that he believes that are happening here in Shasta County and all over. And as many of you know, or maybe you don't, Tennessee passed Senate Bill 2691 in April of 2024. So, and it's about geoengineering and infusing, you know, chemicals or different things in the atmosphere. And again, I don't have a bias one way or the other. What I do know is, you know, growing up, my family moved here in the late 70s because my parents moved us out of Southern California because they wanted to move us here for the clean air and the drug-free environment. And, you know, both of those don't exist. Those don't exist anywhere the way they used to, but now they really don't exist. So I want to know a little bit more about what Dane Wigington was talking about. And it's a conversation because, you know, growing up here in Anderson, you know, running the hill for Coach Reed back in the day, the sky was always blue. It was like really blue. And now it's, you know, even when it's blue, it's blurry, it's hazy, or it's covered in stripes. And I want to know what that stuff is, because our cancer rates are a bit wonky. There's more children now with childhood cancer than there used to be. You know, so and there's a lot of other medical abnormalities that I've asked Dr. Mu about in the last 6 months. And honestly, that air pollution control meeting, when Dane came up and spoke, it's like, all right, like let's have that conversation, because I don't have one opinion really over another. I just want to know, why is Tennessee doing that, and why are there roughly 13 or 15 other states looking at that as well? So health and wellness is a big one for me. Fire issues. I've worked with San Bernardino County, and then who was Chairwoman Dawn Rowe last year. I'm not sure who the chair is in San Bernardino now. Maybe it's her again. Who knows? And the fire issues aren't going away. Sean O'Hara and I were talking about the strategic plan for fire. That was going to come back last year at the end of the year. And I told him I'd like to wait until the new board was seated. You know, he had mentioned about hiring this consulting firm to basically substantiate what he already believes. And I said, I don't really want to spend a bunch of money to have them say what you're already believing. And I said, so let's have that discussion next year. And so that's going to be coming, but the fire issues aren't going away. And so that's something that I really want to make sure I have a big push in. And then third is the charter issues. You know, I want to make sure that we continue to build our charter. I don't want to say ignorant in the political process of charter amendments, but I will say, you know, that was hijacked. That wasn't something as a community. It was focused, but, you know, Supervisor Plummer supported P&Q. Everybody on our board publicly supported P&Q, but Alan Long, and he did not support it. But Supervisor Long just, you know, he didn't have a hard answer on how he felt. So really four of the five of us, I know, supported P&Q. So I want to look at not just those, but other issues that, and again, if you don't have the same political ideology as me, but if you have some things that you would really like to see built into the charter, send them to us. Send them to me. Send them to anybody. Send them to your own supervisor, and let's craft our charter to make it what we want here in Shasta County so we can insulate ourselves as best as possible, because that's the whole purpose of a charter, is to be able to self-govern where we can, and that's what's important. So the last thing, and I'm not going to say I'm saving the best for last, but it's really the closest to my heart, is youth. I really wanted to focus on youth in 2024. And because of the failed recall attempt and the time that took basically about a half a year from me. Because by the time we get to pass the recall, they count the votes, it's almost April by then. And by then it's already really heavy into budget type stuff. So it's not until July. So I didn't get a chance to dig into some of the stuff. And then also we had Miguel Rodriguez, who left, and he was really the person I worked with the most when it talked about behavioral health and kids in that direction. And then you had the SCOE, so there were some things late. So I'm going to really bring that back. And with the opioid funding, there's a huge opportunity to really invest in youth and make sure that we're able to do a great job into whatever jurisdiction we have to impact young kids' lives. I want to make sure that we're moving the ball. And I mentioned this, and this isn't my saying, but I love it and I've stole it now. Is that, I want to put a quarter in the machine and I want to hear the music. Meaning I want to see a result. I want to be able to say, I want to do this. I want to move the ball. And there's the difference. We can point to it. And I think we're going to get that with this opioid stuff. I know other supervisors are meeting with the different entities, and that's important. Okay. So we're going to take a couple minute break. And when we come back again, start getting in queue, because I'm sure we'll get some calls on this. I want to talk about public comment structure at the Board of Supervisors. And then I want to talk about the safety, how you feel in the last 5 years. Are we safer or not? And then lastly, about medical care. Do you seek your medical care inside the county or outside the county? With that, we will be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Are you wishing for some cold hard cash this winter? Come down to Wind River Resort and Casino for our $80,000 Winter Wishes Swipe to Win drawing. Swipe your free River Club card daily in any promotional kiosk to win drawing entries or other amazing prizes. Don't miss weekly drawings every Thursday starting at 7 p.m. Join us for our final drawings on January 30th and February 27th for a chance to win up to $5,000 cash. For complete details, see windriver.com or call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Redding. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Redding and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Welcome back. This is Kevin Cry. This is my show, broadcasting live, heart of District 1, downtown Redding. I will say, when I pulled up to the Capitol yesterday, I did see a lot of American flags, a lot of huge trucks, and some very small cars. So it was an eclectic group of people, but there was definitely a lot of patriotism and a lot of American flags. Okay, before we take our first caller, again, if you want to call in, please call in. That number is 530-605-4567. Again, 530-605-4567. And again, you can follow me on Facebook, votekevincry.com. I'm sorry. You can follow me on Facebook, Vote Kevin Cry, or you can go online, votekevincry.com, and you can sign up for the newsletter or our meeting tomorrow night. All right, with that, we're going to take our first caller. Nick, are you there?
I'm here. Hey, less safe, by far, less safe.
Less safe, okay.
Absolutely. A public comment. You know, I kind of had a bad feeling about cutting it down to 1 minute for the to decide who the chair was going to be. But you know, if you can't get your point across in 1 minute, you're not very well versed, in my opinion. So I thought that was appropriate. I think something needs to be done about the profanity that's used on public comment at times, and I don't know what that can be, and disruptions from the audience.
Yeah, no, I understand that. One of the things, so we'll tackle the first thing you said. And again, if you want to call in, go ahead and call in. The in terms of feeling less safe, now, do you have an opinion of why we are less safe, Nick?
Oh, yes, I do. There's parolees from out of the area that are being paroled here. I talked to one personally. And then I'm around town all day, every day. I see new faces, and I see criminals. They've got a look about them, and you can spot a criminal if you know if you're a people person. You can spot an evil person.
Okay.
And I see broken windows all over. I see just a lot of things that aren't necessary. A lot of damage and a lot of costly things that are just done out of spite.
No, I understand that. And then going back to the public comment. Comment with the 1 minute, and I wouldn't disagree with you. I had a person, because you know this is something I've been talking to people about since last year when I became chair, and we've made I made quite a few changes from the year 23 to 24, and they over time kept refining those. And I will say, cutting it to one might have been a bit short. Maybe it could have been two. I do think, and I'll tell you, a lot of the counties do not do 3 minutes. And people can say, well, we're different. And I agree, we are different here in Shasta County. But, you know, what the chair is tasked with is looking at, the trends, and not just who is speaking, but how long it takes people to get to their point. And 1 minute might have been abrupt. 2 minutes, I think, is more than adequate. And there's a lot of different strategies. And I will say, we're going to make some changes to public comment and over the next month. I've been working with county council because we really want to bring into what we have jurisdiction over. And one of the toughest things I'll say as chair is I'm not an attorney. So when we talk about what we have jurisdiction of, I know what we have jurisdiction of and what we don't, but what you can't do is you can't assume where a person's statement is going to go. Are they going to tie it back into what we have jurisdiction or not? And that's one of the difficult things of chair in real time is, you know, but I can tell we have one speaker who couldn't stay on topic. Like they couldn't even, you know, it would be like them trying to keep their feet on the ground on the moon. They just float away. And so they constantly have to be reminded what item we're on, but that's okay. Some people are
I
just
want to talk medical.
Okay. Medical. Go ahead.
And then
we have another caller. So go ahead and state the thing about medical, and then we're going to move on. Thanks, Nick. Go ahead.
People need to realize there's a vast difference between the quality of doctors here. We've got some poor doctors, and we've got some wonderful doctors. Personally, I had my knee replaced down at St. Helena, and I couldn't have been happier. I go to a rheumatologist up in Ashland, mainly because there wasn't any here in Redding at the time, and there is now. And I go to Ashland because I go in the spring and the fall and take a walk through Lithia Park, and it's spectacular. But you need to do your research, and a good place to do research would be maybe go to a rehab facility and go ask them, say, I think I'm going to have my shoulder worked on. If you were going to have your shoulder worked on, who would you go to? You've got to be careful how you ask a rehab. Otherwise, they steer you away to the wrong guy, you know, you get hurt feelings, you don't get work referred to you. And hey, the chiropractor is another good one. So with that, I'll bid you a fond farewell.
Thank you, Dick. I appreciate it. And all right, we're going to go to our next caller. Jim, are you there? Jim, good morning.
Yes, good morning. You understand that I am a frequent critic of the public comment.
I recognize the voice now. Yes, Jim, good morning.
Yes, good morning. And I appreciate all your efforts. I understand why you're doing it, I think, because there's so many people that go way, way off topic, and worse than that, they really use it as a forum to attack you. So I really understand the human factors involved. But I also am one to advocate insisting that the public comment continue to be 3 minutes so that people there are a few people, probably quite a few, that actually spend a lot of time developing a three-minute essay almost. And when they come in and all of a sudden it's pared down to a minute or two, that really it's a hard edit to do on the fly. So,
and Jim, and stay on because I want to respond to that. The only time I've ever cut it to 1 minute was just on the chair appointment, because it was R1, it was the very first thing, and I thought, okay, this could be 21 minutes, this could be 7. It shouldn't take somebody 3 minutes to have to make their point of who they want to be chair. And even then, the way that, I mean, I don't look at the cards, I don't look at the names, and even then it was pretty, if you go back and look, it was pretty split about who the people were supporting or whatever, so, and it was pretty even. So one of the things for me, I will say, the reason I have moved over time, public comment to where it is. And if you've noticed, like, I just let everybody get 3 minutes at the end because all the county's work and business is done. We are complete. The staff is able to go and do what they want after the regular calendar items. The only thing that's left oftentimes is consent and then closed session. But we always take closed session public comment before we go into closed session. So I'm going to continue to make some changes, Jim. And what I would tell you is reach out to me offline, and if you want to be part of this little small focus group, because I am, I've heard different supervisors, express different things in media. Never have the conversation with them, but because we really can't. But as I develop what I want to do going forward, what I want us to really focus on, and I'm working with county council on this, is jurisdictionally what we have, making sure if we don't have oversight on it, then we're not going to speak on it. But, you know, it's been a process since I've been coming to meetings in late 2021. Public comment has taken on very, very different types of, various types of initiatives. Like, and I don't mind people coming up and attacking me on decisions I've made or will make, and I don't think any other supervisors would as well. Although, last year we had people on the board that if anybody said one word or looked at them sideways, they just went nuts. And one thing you'll see this year, I think we've all committed to on the board, is we're just not going to respond. And, people get upset that I say, hey, this is your time. And you can see people scowl at me in the audience. But all the board members have basically said, we want to stop responding. So that's fine. Supervisor Kellstrom, I think, gave a constituent an address or something like that, but just not engage. And so that's the direction. Is there anything else, Jim, that you want to share about public comment?
Well, yes. When you said that when all the department heads and county staff were finished with their presentations and maybe Q&As, then you could allow 3 minutes of public comment. And I would say this, that the public comment is on an equal plane, even I would say perhaps above the county workers, because they are paid. That should be part of their job description. They're paid to interact with the public or go to public forums and to tell the public what they're up to. And that's well and good. But the fact is that we need to allow the public, who are bankrolling all of this, who are, they're at the top of the organizational chart, they should also be given priority.
Yeah, totally agree. So let me ask you this in that. Mm-hmm. So I agree with that, and I felt really, really strongly about that when I was running as a candidate as well. Here's what I'll say about that. Everybody still has the ability for every single item for public comment. There's a huge difference between public comment open time versus public comment on an agendized item like R2, R7, whatever. Everybody still gets their say. The difference is the public comment open time. So I want to make sure for the people that are listening that maybe don't come to the meetings, we've always, I mean, everybody gets to speak on every item, and that's the thing. Now, here's the other part of that, right? Because I agree. You talk about the hierarchy, the chart, the taxpayers. So, Jim, do you want your taxpayers' money just spent, or do you want it invested? Because the reality is what I've seen in this, there is so much wasted time, and there is so much wasted dollars, tax dollars of people listening to, especially three or four. There's three or four speakers that speak on every single item. And I added it up one time, and there was almost an hour and 40 minutes listening to basically three to four people. And because they speak on every item, they come up and say, I don't even know what the topic is. What are we talking about? And then they ramble on, and then they say, we're going to prison, or they're saying this, or they're that. And I've had too many staff saying, Kevin, if you could do anything as chair, this is last year, could we get the X, Y, and Z? So now you won't see a ton of department heads sitting in there for hours on end because they know we can, I won't say predict out, but based on cards and the timing and when they're put in, we can tell the department heads, when this item comes to this point, head down. And we're just streamlining it and making it easier. But I'm going to tell you, Jim, I'm committed to just keep working on this because however we do this, I see this as a new way going forward. And I've talked to over 20 counties. And I'm talking about, I've talked to county councils, other electeds, clerk of the boards, and then just people in various counties. And it is all over the map on how they do it. Some allow 1 minute. Some say, hey, you get, we take five public speakers. They all get 3 minutes. And it's basically first come, first serve. And I don't want to do that because then it's just, you know, it'll always be those same five people. And so, you know, some will say we do a half an hour, and then after the half an hour, we push it to the end. So what I felt to this point was the way we've structured it, the staff loves it, but I want to get more of the community engaged. But that's why I do these radio shows, Jim. That's why I do everything I do into the public and try and do all these meetings and try and do all this video is because I want input and I want to get information out. So my heart is 100% to bring the public in as much as I can. At the same time, I'm trying to make sure that we don't have 20% of our time as a county just wasted because, quite honestly, there's a lot of people that waste the county's time by coming up. You never do that. You actually give a lot of great input, and so do many others, and I want to encourage that. All right, Jim, do you have anything left? Any last things? Because we have another caller.
Well, I do. I will agree with your focus. One of your focus is to limit the maybe the input, the content, so that I don't like prior restraint, but I do like it when people are not on topic and when it turns into a personal attack. I think that's when the kill switch comes out.
Well, yeah, it has to be the jurisdiction of the board, and we've gone away from that because we don't want to quell free speech, but it's gone so far the other way. All right, hey Jim, thank you. I'm sure I'll see you this Tuesday. All right, going to our next caller, and we're actually, ironically, a lot of you are calling in now, so it looks like we're stacking up. Laura, are you there?
Yes, hello, I'm here.
Hello.
Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I just feel like, you know, government works best when you have civic involvement. That's one of the things we're lacking these days, is too many citizens do not get involved with their government.
I agree.
And one of the ways you can encourage that is by making public comment first thing in the morning. I think we have the priority, not the county workers. And one thing that limits the public discourse is when you have a restrictive speaker card policy where you have to put it in before the comments start. And the way the agenda items are written, it's so vague. Many people don't even know what this topic is about till after they start talking about it. So I think that needs to be changed. And one thing as well is, like, for instance, you know, a lot of what the board does is kind of like ceremonial. For instance, last week we had recognition of a canine,
let's see, we're already doing it. Let's stick to public comment. Like, I want to talk
so
about
I
public
saw,
comment.
I saw three sheriff officers sitting there for 3 hours so they could give honor to this dog who will never even be able to receive that honor and recognize that they've been honored. and they spent 3 hours.
All right, so hey, Laura, we're gonna move on because calls are stacked. I appreciate you calling in. So we're gonna take our next caller.
So how much did that cost the county? I'm just wondering. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
And so one of the things I will say quickly why we pulled this next caller up is we have at the county, department heads can ask to bring something forward. And there is some departments, I'll just tell you, a lot of the departments don't bring a lot of stuff forward. I'm not going to disagree with what Laura just said about the canine, but at the same time, the way the R1 went, they should have been there, I think, a much, much shorter time. But R1 took over an hour. And that is healthy because that's what it took. But, you just kind of never know on some of those things in terms of recognitions. All right. John, are you there?
Yep, I'm here. Yeah, I'll keep this pretty short and on the topic of public comment. I agree with you. You know, there's people that speak on every single item half the time they don't even know. My suggestion is that they get cut off right away and they'll have to figure out how to have their stuff together to know what topic they're talking about, and maybe depending on what it is, you could set different times. If something seems like it should be a minute, then give people a minute on that subject. If something else takes 2 minutes, give them 2 minutes on that. As far as open comment goes, I think that should stay to 3 minutes. But anyways, I think if people get up there and they don't know what they're doing, just cut them, just boom, hit the kill switch, and next person.
Yeah, no, and John, I really appreciate that. And one of the things is, you know, because of the hostile environment of public comment, a lot of regular citizens don't show up. And that's what I don't want, is I don't want people not showing up. And I'll just tell you, like, where I'm leaning right now is, and this may be because I want people to feel, and again, what I've realized also in public office is there are some people I'm never going to please. Like when I ran, and I said this in my campaign back in 21 or 22 as a uniter, because that's what I've always been, as an agent, as a father, as a business person. I mean, you know, bringing groups together, that's something I'm very used to, very comfortable and very accustomed to doing. But then I realize there's people that just have no desire whatsoever to work together. And one of the things with public comment going forward, I've really, really thought about what if people put their public record cards in and we just have like a tumbler, just like you would have it like a bingo or raffler, and we put their cards in and boom, we just pull one out, like the NBA draft even, right? And you pull it out and say, okay, here's the 10 people we're going to take before we get to everything else. Because one thing I don't want to do is I don't want to go back, because in 23 and early in 24, we would have 2 or 3 hours of public comment before we ever got to stuff. And when you look at timing of the staff and the meetings, and again, I ask staff about productivity, and this is one of the things in terms I know CEO Rickard is looking at, is about outcomes and dashboards of various departments. And I know count. I mean, the one that I've been most I won't say critical of, but wanting to see big change, and we are seeing big change, is in county council's office, how time and metrics are there, because the amount of litigation costs and things of that nature are so high, and some of that you just can't help. But we're actually now putting in metrics where we can see the data of how departments and how organizations are moving things forward, what is being accomplished. I know CEO Rickard has been working on that since he's come in. But again, it's hard to jump in and make those changes quickly, because there's a lot of institutional things ingrained in various departments that, you know, really there's opportunity for big change when somebody new is at the helm, and then also how they're coming into that process. So with that and public comment, I totally agree that the amount of time, 3 minutes, but, you know, I also don't want to have 3 hours at the beginning of a meeting. I'll take 10 hours at the end of a meeting when all the work of the county is done, because I want to be outcome driven. I want us to get things done. I want people filling potholes. I want, you know, our sheriff's deputies maximized with their time, so they're taking people off the streets and so on and so forth. So, okay, with that, I know we have another caller. David, if you just want to plug them right in, whoever they are, doesn't even matter. I don't need to read their name. John, thank you very much for calling in. Richard on the line. All right. Richard, come on in. Hello, Richard.
Hello?
Hello, Richard.
Yes, this is Richard.
How you doing?
I receive major medical care outside Reading.
Okay.
And there's a real good reason for that. I needed total knee replacements about 4 years ago.
Okay.
And because I owed the big orthopedic partnership here in Reading $750 through no fault of my own, they insisted on billing wrong. They insisted on billing Blue Cross as a primary and then Medicare as a secondary. I called them up and said, you're doing it just completely backwards. They insisted to do it their way. So they wanted the whole $750.
So let me ask you.
I just went to Chico.
Okay, you're doing your care outside of the area. Is that? Because I don't want to get into the specifics.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
For anything major, yeah, like knee replacement.
Okay, now is that because of insurance, or is that because of?
Excuse me.
I said it was that driven mostly by insurance and billing, or was that driven by where you could get in terms of?
It was driven by the headstrong notion of the billing department.
Okay, so
big, multi-million-dollar establishment here that they were.
All right,
they were billing correctly from the beginning, and
perfect.
They were not.
Okay, so it wasn't necessarily the quality of care or the opportunity. Hey, thank you so much. We're gonna go to Bruce. Thank you, Richard, for calling in. Bruce, are you there? Bruce, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Bruce.
Good morning.
Good morning,
and
sir.
But what I wanted to comment regarding was the health or safety.
Okay.
And, you know, one of the things, I mean, look at the fires going on down in L.A. and everything else of that sort. And I don't know, as far as a charter county, is if we can institute some logging instead of the government paying for it, logging companies going out and cutting some trees and doing some stuff like we used to do up here.
Okay.
I mean, that creates a very good fire break in a lot of different areas. Thins the forest out, cleans everything up. And then my other issue, what I'm looking at, is our jails. I mean, our jails have, you know, they're over. We don't have enough jail space. So, I mean, what is the problem with, as a charter county, can we put together a farm camp for the lower level or a quote-unquote kind of mental facilities for the drug guys.
Do you feel Reading is less safe or safer today in the last 5 years?
It hasn't really changed much at all.
It's not
in a good place. Let's put it that way.
Okay. No, I appreciate that. Thank you, Bruce, for calling in. Thank you.
Okay.
One of the things, and we have 2 minutes left. So if you are going to call 530-605-4567, you'll be the last caller. I will say, when we talk about the charter issues, that's one of the things that, I mean, I've been working on quite a bit since last year with Measures P and Q, because I think those two are just absolute no-brainers. And again, I've learned, because of all the propositions that most people said vote no on all the propositions with the exception of 36, and I've been told by a lot of people that are very, very, very politically supportive of me, but they're not what I would say engaged. They voted no on P and Q. They just said, "Oh, I just voted no on everything." They said, "You know, the status quo. If I don't understand it, or I don't read it, or I don't know much about it, I just vote no." And it's like, all right. So I learned that, and that's one of the things that because Chris Kellstrom's what he brought forward in terms of term limits, as well as my original charter ballot measure. I mean, those passed both so convincingly that I thought, oh, okay, that's just how we do it. We put them on and it'll go. Well, that's not the case. So in terms of what, Bruce, you mentioned about looking at other things that we can do in terms of how we log or how we thin our, I won't say our forests, but how we, thin some of the areas that are very prone to fire. We do need to look at those, and we do need to take every opportunity we can, because let's face it, the state of California is trying to ban gas-powered vehicles and doing a bunch of other crazy stuff, so we need to make sure we can protect everything we can. Okay, Shasta County and beyond, we have just a few seconds left. Go to votekevincry.com or follow me on Facebook, Vote Kevin Cry. I'll go live tomorrow morning. I'll pick up a little bit more of this. We have a Board of Supervisors meeting. With that, have a great, healthy, and happy week. Come on.
working all day, overtime hours for both fish pay, so I can sit out here and waste my life away.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.